Been a fun 2 hours. Hope you weren't too late to the party. Nate Lundy, a host of the Fantasy Football Hour, joins us for our final conversation regarding fantasy football here in just a few minutes. Start getting your questions into us right now on the text line at 44-1140. A lot of people in the semifinals if you're playing daily fantasy. Nate's also really good with that. We were giving away tickets, four-pack of tickets, to the NCAA doubleheader December 21st at the Golden 1 Center with Kansas versus Stanford and Sac State versus Portland. The response on social media has been pretty overwhelming. It's awesome. It's the first time we've ever done this, a contest that was really based strictly through social media. So if you've downloaded the KHDK app and you took a snapshot of you listening to the show, we greatly appreciate it. You have entered to win. We've picked our winner. We threw all the different names into the proverbial hat here. It's actually just a part of the studio, and we pulled the name out, and I have no idea what is it. His Twitter handle is at ZachJ1207. So we'll tweet you back that you won. I have no idea what I'm assuming your name is Zach J. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate everybody who's listening. And yeah. Here's the thing, Jason. We got another four pack of tickets to give tomorrow. If you tweeted us today that you're listening on the app, we'll enter you to win tomorrow also.
We'll keep you in.
So we'll get a fresh batch of entries tomorrow, but we'll keep you in as well.
Cool.
All right. Absolutely. So thank you guys so much for making this first foray into social media contests so successful. Just another kind of evolution of what we're doing here and what we're going to be doing. We got a fun 2018 planned for you. We actually have the entire year planned out already.
All the way through.
It's extraordinary. Yeah. We literally have nothing else to do but walk in and do the show. The whole thing is planned.
Yeah.
And Nate Lundy in 2018 hopefully is another big part of the show. Nate, it's a bittersweet day, my man. This is it. This is the last fantasy football hour with you, and we're shedding a thug tear, man.
You guys have an app?
Yeah.
We did. What does it do? Can I play like Candy Crush?
No, easy, Tiger. You can listen to the Lowdown on demand, or you can listen to it live. You never have to miss our show again. Nate is your sitting in there getting ready for, the big weekend of fantasy football. You can listen to us.
And you can hear yourself again.
Are there coupons? Like, do I get a discount if I go to the store and tell them I know you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yep. Just say, Jason Ross is my boy. It works every time. Yeah. I can't tell you how often I use that line. Jason Ross is my boy.
How's that?
And it works.
Oh, wow.
Every time.
I figured you were using another word that started with B.
No, stop that. Stop that.
That's Nate, not till maybe next week when we're in the championship, hopefully together.
Well, see, we're both in the semifinals here, Nate, and I don't like this, man. I'm nervous. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm overthinking things. I know a lot of people here on the text line, they're asking weird questions, things that they probably wouldn't ask before. What do we do? Like, how do you get out of your own head here in the fantasy football playoffs?
You do a couple of things. First of all, crack open an adult beverage and relax. That's the first thing you do. Second thing that you do is take the name off the back of the jersey and just look at the numbers, look at the matchup, and don't look at the name. Because every year this happens in fantasy football, you win a championship with a guy that probably was not even on your roster until 3 weeks ago. And you've got to be willing to do that. You've got to be willing to accept the fact that, a guy like Dede Westbrook, who's a rookie wide receiver with Jacksonville, has a great matchup this weekend. Blake Bortles is playing better than he was at the beginning of the season, and that might actually be the wave you have to ride to a championship. You've got to be willing to ignore the name on the back of the jersey and accept the fact that a guy like Dede Westbrook, a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, both of whom have better matchups this weekend than A.J. Green. And so Green, you probably drafted him. You probably used one of your top wide receiver picks on him. But he's not the guy that's going to get you to the championship. You've got to be willing to ignore the name on the back of the jersey.
I think I subscribed to that theory this week, Nate, and made a kind of a last-minute pickup of Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't know whether I should pull the trigger and play him over Marcus Mariota, because Mariota's just been okay.
Oh, are you kidding me? Jimmy G is in your lineup, and Mariota's standing on the sideline apologizing to his mom.
Yeah, but his mom. Okay.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Sure, it's nice, but, look, Tim Tebow was nice. Didn't mean he could play quarterback.
True. So Jimmy G all the way.
I would take Jimmy G over Marcus Mariota all day long. I've got Garoppolo ranked in the top 10 this weekend.
Woo! Okay, so there's another guy. We're going to ignore the name on the back of the jersey, but he plays in Green Bay. He hasn't played in several weeks, and he's got a really tough defense this weekend in the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, but you know what? Did you see the look on his face when he was leaving the field when he got injured? When he's cursing out the other team?
Yeah, he was pissed.
Yeah. So you don't think he's been thinking about that for the last few weeks? Because I do. He's in the top 10 as well. I know he's going up against a tough defense, but he's Aaron freaking Rodgers. And that is one where both the name and the matchup and the numbers tell you that that guy belongs on the field.
Would you play every Steeler and Patriot you had this week, or is that going to go the other way and be low scoring for some reason?
Every time I see these games that have a really high over-under, I sit back and imagine the drunk guys at the sports book trying to bet it because they just think that, they're going to score 75. I honestly don't know what to expect out of this one because I do think that that not having Ryan Shazier is a big deal for the Steelers, and we know that Bill Belichick is extremely good at doing two things, finding your weakness and exploiting it, and finding your greatest strength and shutting it down. And that's what he does. That's why he's got the rings and the trophies that he does, and that's why right now he's the GOAT. So I honestly do not know what to expect out of that because if the Steelers, if Ben Roethlisberger says, come with me, I'm putting you on my shoulders and I'm going to carry you through this game, and he does the kinds of things that we've seen Big Ben do in playoff games before, then you're talking about a game that could very easily turn into a shootout. But if you see a Steelers team that starts to not, look like they're clicking right, if Tom Brady and the Patriots punch him in the teeth right at the very beginning of the game and he's not quite sure how to react, then we're talking about a different story.
The jerk that has Aaron Rodgers in our league never let him go when he got hurt.
I know.
He just held on to him. You probably would have picked him up week 1,
wouldn't
you? Of
course I would have.
Yeah. There's a lot of quarterback questions coming in here. There's a lot of questions about Aaron Rodgers. Nate, who are your top 10 quarterbacks roughly your top 10 quarterbacks this weekend in terms of matchups?
So some of them are going to be the names that you expect. Roethlisberger's up there. Brady's up there. Breeze is up there, even though he hasn't done the same kind of numbers. Phillip Rivers is up there as well with a favorable matchup. Aaron Rodgers is in there as well. Don't be surprised to see Cam Newton have a bounce back game. He's on kind of the lower half of my top 10, but he's still in there. I think he can wind up doing well. Dak Prescott in the same boat. And then in terms of rounding it off, we already talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. And then I also think that you're looking at a matchup for Kirk Cousins that is, as much as Washington is a big head scratcher, you're talking about going up against Arizona, a team that just has not looked good. So I think that Cousins is another guy that can have a good weekend.
I don't know if there's a scenario where he'd even play Nick Foles, but what do you think about what he might do with that offense now as their quarterback?
I think Nick Foles, if you're in a two-quarterback league, which a lot of people are now, where you've kind of got that super flex or you start two quarterbacks, then he absolutely can go in there. Obviously, when he put up the numbers that he did, what was it, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, that's, you're talking Chip Kelly, you're talking about a lot of that situation. But this is a good overall Eagles team. Different to me than what we saw with Green Bay, where they just fell apart without Aaron Rodgers. I don't see this Eagles team falling apart. I mean, Nick Foles is not Carson Wentz, but I also don't believe that he's the equivalent of you suddenly dropping down to Blaine Gabbert. I think that Foles is better than that. He's played with this team before, and I think Doug Peterson can do a good job with him. So I've got Foles ranked right around 16th, I think, if I remember off the top of my head. Right there on that edge, if you're in a full 16-team league, but definitely if you're in a two-quarterback league, you can feel confident with Foles.
Probably still rated higher than Matt Ryan, just for the record. This is a weird...
No, he's behind Ryan. He's behind Ryan.
Barely.
He's about 4 spots behind.
Okay. We kind of mentioned this earlier. It's not an attractive week of matchups. Obviously, you mentioned the Steelers, the Patriots. That's the big one. I know there's playoff implications all over the place, with 2-7-6 teams playing each other in the AFC West. But it starts tonight with a 4-9 team against a 3-10 team. How does this weird week of or less than attractive week of matchups factor into fantasy football? Does it make for higher scores, lower scores, or are you just rolling the dice here?
I think you roll the dice, but I think it goes back to what we talked about right at the beginning of the segment, and that is you got to get away from paying attention to the name on the back of the jersey, because I think that there are matchups that frankly you've got some guys that are going to make sense. Look, 2 months ago you wouldn't have wanted to touch Blake Bortles, and yet what's happened with Bortles is he's got two wide receivers, both of whom are rookies, Cole and Westbrook, that we talked about about earlier, that are starting to play well. He's moving the ball around. This is a team that I think in the last computer models I saw that, you know, Jacksonville's at like a 97% chance of making the playoffs. I mean, we haven't talked about that with the Jaguars in a long time. They've got something to play for. I think Bortles is, you know, again, he's not a game changer, but he's also not, you know, 26th in my rankings like he was a couple of months ago. So the key here with all of these matchups is to recognize, number one, remove the name from the jersey and be willing to roll the dice on somebody that has a favorable matchup or that you can tell is performing well, like, for example, a Kenyon Drake in terms of his performance with Miami. That's a name that now suddenly over the last couple of weeks is worth starting. And don't be afraid to take advantage of those matchups and do your research. I mean, look, follow, if you're a Twitter person, if you spend a lot of time on Twitter following teams, make sure you're paying attention to the big beat writers and the reporters that are in the NFL cities, especially with teams that are out of it. Like you said, teams that have been eliminated. What you want to do is be looking at, okay, who's going to wind up? Somebody's got to get some points here. Who's it going to be out of this team, and who can I take advantage of here in these last couple of weeks?
Nate, I actually got a good one on social media. I think this is interesting. Not everybody plays in keeper leagues. They say they hate their team. They're out of the playoffs. But they have two guys they have to choose between keeping, and they're both injured for the year, and that's Dalvin Cook and Deshaun Watson. They're asking which one would be best in a keeper league of those two.
I'm going to keep Deshaun Watson because I think the upside is there for him. What I saw out of him for the first part of the year before he got hurt, I think that there's a lot more upside, and I can put my money where my mouth is because I'm in a keeper league, and I have held on to Deshaun Watson the entire time since he got hurt because I'm not willing to give him up because of what I think the ceiling is.
Are you ready to buy in all things Chargers right now?
With the way they're playing, yeah. I mean, look, I've been saying all along the Chargers are a better team than people were willing to give them credit for. And, you know, Phillip Rivers plays with a fire and a passion that, I mean, look, Broncos fans hate Phillip Rivers here in Denver, but they also love him because every team should want a quarterback that has that much energy and that much fire and gets that ticked off when things don't go right. I mean, you want somebody like that on your team. And right now, what they've been able to do in terms of putting that 0-4 start behind them and doing what they're doing, I think is fantastic. I mean, I know that I've seen some people talking about it this week, like, should he be in the conversation when it comes to MVP? Look, he's not going to win it, but look at what he's done. He had every reason for a team that's playing in a soccer stadium with tarped off seats to have completely phoned it in after they started out 0-4, and he hasn't done it. He's continued to fight. And, yes, I still believe that when the dust settles, the Chargers are going to win the division.
Nate, you talked about your top quarterbacks. How about the running backs this week? Who are some of the guys that you rate high?
Well, you wind up with the quote-unquote usual suspects, obviously, because you do have a position at running back that is – you know, I don't want to say easy to predict in terms of who's at the top, but there are certainly a lot of those kind of guys. There are people you go, oh yeah, okay. I don't need to sit here and talk to you about Le'Veon Bell. I don't need to provide you with names like that. To me, it's more about the guys you should be concerned about that maybe used to be up at the top. So when we talk about Carlos Hyde, no, I'm not feeling it with Carlos Hyde. Same thing with Kareem Hunt. I don't like the matchup that he has against the Chargers, who are playing very good defense right now. We were just talking about them. I think some of the names that are easy to pick at the top are fine. It's the ones that you go, oh, you know what? There's a guy that a few weeks ago would have been a no-brainer and right now is playing badly. And, you know, I use Carlos Hyde as my best example.
Looks like a lot of people here on the text line at 44-1140 send your fantasy football questions in here to Nate Lundy for the next couple of minutes. You can also get them on Twitter at Nate Lundy. A lot of people are nervous about Tyreek Hill.
Oh, I understand that. I do think that this is a matchup, though. I'm nervous because I've seen them moving the ball around. Like last week is a great example. If you're a Travis Kelce owner, you were ticked off last week because Alex Smith put up a ton of yards but no points. They just kept kicking field goals. Now you're going up against a Chargers defense that even though Kansas City's at home, again, the Chargers are playing a lot better. I think right now, across the board, the anybody with the Chiefs has me very nervous this weekend. If you make it through this weekend, now we're talking a different story because the Chiefs are still at home, but they make me very nervous this weekend against L.A.
Nate, last week we were asking kind of maybe who your fantasy MVP was. How about would the Raiders qualify as maybe your most disappointing, whether that's Carr, Lynch, Cooper, Crabtree, kind of collectively? Have they been one of the bigger disappointments?
Absolutely they have. have. I mean, I think collectively across the board, there are so many guys that are going to disappoint you there. I mean, we talked about, you know, we've harped on Amari Cooper. You know how I feel about him.
Yes.
But yeah, I think you're talking about a whole group of guys there with Oakland. And that, and the truth is that also includes their defense. A lot of expectations were there for that defense to perform well with the front seven that they have, and they haven't lived up to it either. Yeah, collectively, the silver and black have been a big letdown.
In case you're unaware, Nate Lundy is a massive Amari Cooper fan.
Huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Hashtag sarcasm.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Jay Ajayi's coming in here a lot on the text line. I get that line of thinking with Nick Foles now as the quarterback and Shamaje Perine. Those are the two running backs that seem to be coming in a lot with questions. Yeah. At 44-11-40.
Ajayi is a guy that I think that Foles is going to try to lean on a little bit. I think that it's funny, you know, as I mentioned, this is a good Eagles team, and so I think that that's a good thing for Foles. But I also don't know that had the injury to Carson Wentz happened, you know, say 7 weeks ago or so before they had Ajayi, I might be a little bit more nervous because that backfield was a mess. But they now clearly do have a guy that they can lean on and turn into a bell cow if they want to, and that's Jay Ajayi. I've got him right on the edge of the top 20. This week. I mean, again, it's not the greatest matchup in the world for them against the Giants in terms of the front side of the Giants. I do think Foles is going to have more luck throwing the ball than they are running the ball. But yes, Jay Ajayi sitting there in the top 20.
Nate, since this is our last one, if people advance next week, whether that's their finals or semis next week, but Zeke comes back, is he an instant play for sure next week?
Yeah, he is. You have to roll. That's a guy you roll with that behind that offensive line. Yes, you've got to make sure that he's back in your lineup. Much the way that we said, you know, you may have to shake a little bit of rust off, but I think you've got to get him out there the same way that we did when Josh Gordon came back.
Yeah,
dude, are you contractually obligated to watch the game tonight?
Well, here's the thing: if I watch it, but I really don't remember it. You know, like if there's a lot of tequila involved and that kind of thing, like does that count?
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, given it's a 4-9 Broncos team against a 3-10 Colts team, I think it's fair.
There are four teams in the AFC that have been eliminated from the playoffs, and two of them are playing each other tonight. I mean, you tell me that Thursday Night Football is compelling. Come on. It's a joke. It's a joke. I hate Thursday Night Football. But, yes, there will be a lot of adult beverages consumed in order to make it through this game. So my guess is I'm going to be on the air for my morning show tomorrow, and I'm going to have one of my co-hosts ask me something about the game, and I'm going to look at him like he's got a horn coming out of his head. I'm not going to remember what happened.
Make it up. What is your tequila brand?
Oh, there is a brand here in Denver called Arda Tequila that is that the company that owns it is here. I know the owner. It is some good stuff, my friend.
Is it exclusive to Denver? I got to go to Denver to get everything now?
No. You can find it elsewhere. I'm also a Don Julio 1942 kind of guy.
So. Okay. Not that 43 stuff, though. 42
no.
only.
Hey, stick with the stuff that you know.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to thank you, by the way, for having me on every week. You guys are a ton of fun. I do a bunch of these all over the country, and you guys do make it fun every week. So thanks for having me.
No, we're going to thank you. I was just about to, as we wrap up here, Nate literally gets nothing out of this, and he spends about 20 minutes with us every week, except the flood of angry tweets at Nate Lundy, by the
headaches.
Way. So if you're eliminated from the fantasy football playoffs, it's at Nate Lundy. Good thing for me is I'll just text his phone like, damn it, Nate!
Exactly.
I was right there. You blew it. But, man, you've done this for 2 years with, like, literally nothing in return, man, and we're really thankful for you. It's you know, the lowdowns, it's one of our favorite segments, man. So thank you so much for another fun year.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. Everybody, enjoy. Good luck in your fantasy playoffs. Enjoy the don't enjoy tonight's game, but enjoy this weekend's game, and Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you.
All right,
you
Nate,
too.
We appreciate you, my man. Be well. And inevitably, Denver will do something crazy, and we'll have to call Nate
and go, what happened?
And talk about it.
They are going to look different next year for sure.
But you know what we're going to do, Jason? We're going to just do what we did. We're going to hang our hat on the defense. Well, it's okay that it's Paxton Lynch and the return of Brock Osweiler, and I'm missing one. I can't even remember. Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler.
Simeon.
Trevor Siemian.
And, of course, Chad Kelly's a little around there somewhere.
Oh, yes, Chad Kelly, because John
He's
got Elway.
A cool uncle.
John Elway called him.
Yeah.
Just to, it's cool. Don't worry about the off-the-field troubles. His uncle said he was a good guy.
Yeah. You couldn't go to the combine. There's reasons for that, but.
Yeah, but it's cool.
He's all right. He's an all right guy.
His uncle said he was a good guy.
Well, then we could do that, yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
My keeper league. Should I keep David Johnson, Deshaun Watson, or Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, wow, I don't. What a draft they had.
Yeah, keeper league. Well,
they
had to keep. I picked up Deshaun Watson in week two.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who.
Well, the start of the year.
Yeah.
For 30 plays, it was Tom Savage.
30 plays.
Or whatever
yes,
it was.
Yes, indeed. And I don't even know that Deshaun Watson was a factor, like a major factor in week two.
No, he didn't. He barely was very effective at all.
But there was a stretch where it was like, oh, okay. And then it was like, whoa. And then it was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, he figured it out.
This is it.
Yeah.
Damien wanted to slip in a French vanilla rock recommendation. That's on the text line. Shut up. So sick of you guys knocking my drink of choice. Unless you've had it, don't holler at me.
Get your boy.
French Vanilla Ciroc is a fantastic creation. And the commercials air like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, now they're all over the place.
I can see them in my peripherals. What? Like, what smart-ass remark are you going to make, Chris?
No, I just think it's funny.
Okay, good.
Just wanted to validate the humor out of it.
Is there a flavored?
There's a Vanilla Crown Royal. Have you seen that commercial? Mm-hmm. I think it's with JB Smoove. I can't remember who the guy in the commercial is, but yeah, there's a vanilla Crown Royal. I can't even imagine.
Is there a flavored vodka that you haven't liked?
Yes. Cherry. Cherry Ciroc tastes like cough syrup.
Mm.
Yeah, it's bad. It is all the way bad. Apple's good. Trying to remember some of the other flavors. I don't venture that far. Pineapple's good. The pina colada Ciroc is good, which is really just a mix of the pineapple Ciroc and the coconut Ciroc. But they put it in a nice bottle, and it's like, oh, get this one. We're going to charge like $5 more for it. But French vanilla, that's the one. Any other questions?
That's the go-to?
That's the go-to, man. That's the one right there. I haven't had a drink in a while. I don't know why. No reason. And just thought of that. I think when I was sick, I was like afraid to drink. I was like, this alcohol is going to kill me if I have a drink. And felt like I was sick for like 3 weeks.
Wouldn't it make you feel better?
If I had drank enough of it,
yeah, exactly.
It would have been. I don't know how I would have felt the next morning. I might have felt better at that exact moment. Denver and I wish I'd stopped saying between sentences. It's starting to drive myself nuts. Denver and Indianapolis tonight in Indianapolis. Wouldn't it be? Isn't there? You know, the weather is terrible in Indy. You want to make the game interesting? Isn't Lucas Oil retractable?
Yeah, I believe that one is.
Can you, just for fun, can't you just open it?
Just like a little bit?
Just open it. Midfield is like a total disaster. You got the fans covered.
Yeah.
You got to tell them 90.
You just got to avoid the one spot on the field.
There's still time, right?
Yeah.
5:30. You got to tell them 90 minutes in advance. That would make the game interesting
because
the weather's rough in Indianapolis.
And this is the last Thursday night game of the year, and this is what we're ending with.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is your selling point for it never going away?
Yeah.
Now we got Saturday football.
Yeah. This week, too. A couple next week.
Great games on Saturday, by the way, that you can listen to here on Sports 1140. Bears at Lions. Lions. They just need to win and
yes,
pray.
Yes, they do. Needs a lot of help, but they have to win. That's the first and foremost thing.
Win and pray. And that game's in Detroit. And then, hey, if you're out and about on Saturday, you're going to want to tune in 5 o'clock because it matters a lot. It's the Chargers at Arrowhead.
Yeah, and Raiders' perspective on that one, I think you need the Chargers to win. That's the best scenario. Mm-hmm. Based on schedule ahead, you still play the Chargers.
Right.
Chiefs have a very easy final two. You want to get them another loss to get back into a tie. And then you'd be chasing the Chargers, but maybe you can catch them if all goes well for the Raiders.
Looking at the board O games over here in front of us, great weekend of live sports here because, if you're out moving around on Sunday, if you're not able to be in front of the TV when the Kings play the Raptors, again, that's another 12:30 start. Do the Kings and Raptors only play at 12:30?
Yeah.
Is that a rule?
It's in the contract, yeah.
It's in the bylaws. And your
Sunday
Raiders.
Night. Yeah. Your Cowboys.
There it is. Sunday
losers night. Out.
For
winners.
Sure.
Not in.
Nope.
Winner feels better, but yeah, loser is definitely done.
The loser is done. The winner is still there.
Yeah.
It's just
still alive for just, maybe good, but maybe not at all.
The Raiders definitely are in a significantly better position than the Dallas Cowboys are.
Which is funny because I feel like the Cowboys are the better team and playing better, but the Raiders just have more options.
But the Raiders can win the division.
They still can.
The Cowboys absolutely cannot win the division, and they need some things to go. There's a lot of teams in front of them.
More competition, I think, in the NFC right
now. Yeah, they need a lot of things to go their way. What version of the Kings are we going to get tonight? We'll touch on that as we got the Kings and the T-Wolves coming up. Plus, the Linear Champion, there's a new one. That road leads back to Sacramento, however, we'll explain next on the Lowdown. back here on the Lowdown. Thank you so much for being with us. Was there a bad word coming up? You had to fade that one down pretty quick.
Yeah.
I was trying to let that roll a little bit.
I have an instrumental here, and I realized that is not an instrumental.
Oh, there you go. All right. Boy, national media is excited tonight. It's Lonzo Ball versus LeBron James.
Stop.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? I was excited for that one. I'm always excited to watch LeBron, though, so I'm down.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it's 5 o'clock, so I won't really be able to watch much of that because I'll be watching your Sacramento Kings take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Coverage of that begins at 5 o'clock. We'll be out in Minnesota at 5 o'clock. Jay Ross will be back as the hardest working man in all of professional radio. We'll be back at 4:30 with Kings Live game night coming up at 3:30. So plenty of Kings coverage coming up here in the coming hours on Sports 1140. What version of the Kings are we going to get tonight? We're going to get the good Kings or the bad Kings?
Yeah. You know what? By and large, I think we said they were 5-5 through 10, and they have been more competitive. There's been a clunker in there. I didn't think they were great against Toronto. I think the talent is going to be tough to overcome of Minnesota. What I do think is interesting is when we talked to Alan Horton earlier, the Timberwolves radio voice, it is a thing for them that they play their starters so much. At one point when they do play the bench and they only play about 8 guys, so if it's heavy minutes with 3 guys, bench guys and 2 starters, that's the best thing the Kings have is their bench. They're number one bench in the league. They're the worst starting group in the league. Mm-hmm. But the bench, can they make up some ground there? I think that'll be one of the interesting things. But I don't know how you slow down all of it. Like, you might be able to cool off Towns. All right, well, then maybe Wiggins and Butler have a good game. Can Butler be slowed down? Well, then I just think that's going to be a really tough matchup for them today.
There's a stat I got to give you, but it's totally unrelated to the Kings. I want to save that for you here in just a second. You mentioned the Kings bench. Isn't it indicative, like, when you look at, they're the most productive bench in the league because of how much they're playing? They play more than any other bench
probably
in the league?
Probably that, and, yeah, because they have to, because the starters aren't producing enough points, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to Raul. Raul, we appreciate your call, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to ask, Garrett Temple, he seems to be starting most games. This guy is just awful.
Watch your mouth, Raul. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I cannot stand it, man. It's like brick after brick. I'm wondering what he's getting paid $20 million to do, man.
I don't think Garrett Temple's getting paid $20 million.
It's either $8 million or it was $20 million. But
there's a big difference.
Averaging 7 points a game.
Well, here's
rebounds. I mean, I could do that, man. It's pathetic.
Could you?
He sucks.
No, Raul, you couldn't. One. And yes, we will acknowledge as co-captains of the Garrett Temple fan club, full disclosure here, we won't hide that from you. He's not playing well offensively. My guess is, and I don't know this for sure, that Garrett knows he's not playing well offensively. But you asked why does he continue to start, why he continues to play, is because he is by far the team's best defender.
Yep.
And we had this conversation a couple of days ago when we were talking about shuffling around the starting lineup. Moving Garrett Temple out of the starting lineup doesn't make a lot of sense because you can start him out there against the team's best offensive player from the jump and then go from there.
I'm just – every night – Brick. I don't get it, man. I wish they would have kept some of their key players, man. They just gave away Isaiah Thomas.
Oh man, now you're digging too far. Raul, I'm sorry. I normally don't do that. Raul, we love you, buddy, but you're digging way too far in the vault to pull up the Isaiah Thomas. Like, if you want to break down the Kings organization for the last several years, more than happy to. Just not going to do that now. Let's block Raul forever, by the way. You're not allowed to call here and disparage Garrett.
That'll teach him.
That will teach him. We censor. We censor people who don't think like we do. Well, that's for sure.
And
Raul, seriously. Sorry, Jason. We appreciate the call. We talked openly. Garrett's gone 0-for. Like a couple of, the last, I think, 3 or 4 games. So, yeah, we've had that conversation. But to answer your initial question, why is he out on the floor so much? It's because he's the team's best defender. And that's why he's out on the floor. They'll play through his struggles. I think what's bothering him, or I think what I'm worried about with him, and I would worry about this with any offensive player or any player who's struggling offensively, is you've seen his number of shots go down.
Yeah.
So now he's gotten inside of his own head.
Right. And, you know, you said it perfectly. The reason he's on the floor is for other things, mainly his defense. But as Raul said, if he's averaging 7, well, get to 7. Like, he's not even getting to 7, which isn't asking a lot at all. I mean, he's had a couple of double-figure games. He had the great game in Phoenix, but he hasn't had enough of them offensively. And to me, you know, he's going to get 5 to 6 shots probably. We can count on that tonight. Most of them are open. He doesn't force many shots. He's got to make those, or at least a handful enough to be productive out there.
And he's one of those guys, and you see this a lot in the NBA. You see this a lot in basketball. If Garrett hits his first shot, he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
He can go from there. He needs to – you hear this all the time. If you listen – play-by-play guys say it on radio and television. Sometimes guys just need to see the ball go in the basket.
Right.
You could see Garrett go for, you know, 12, 15, 16 tonight if he can just get that first shot to go in. But if he misses that first shot, it's going to get in his head again.
Yeah, but it's the value. It's what he provides with other things. Tonight, I'm guessing a lot of Wiggins, maybe some Butler. Okay, and if he holds them a little bit below their average, he helped the team.
And that's why he's going to start, and that's why he's going to be out there, is because there are two great offensive players that he can guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be on Karl Anthony Towns at any point tonight.
No.
But Jimmy Butler, he can. Andrew Wiggins, he can. So that's why you're going to see
maybe even Teague. Whatever. He can guard a lot of different guys on that team.
A heavy dose of Garrett Temple tonight. Minnesota's so interesting because there's so many parallels between the two teams. Jason, you bring this up frequently, that the Minnesota Timberwolves have the longest playoff drought.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento Kings are right there next to him. We talked to Al Horton, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, earlier today. You can listen to the interview in its entirety on the KHDK app. Just go to the on-demand section, hour number 2. It's right there at the start of the 1 o'clock hour. But we asked them, there's such an interesting conversation going on here in Sacramento about veterans and young players, and that's something that Minnesota has dealt with that we talked to him about.
Still want to win games because we went through this where you have a completely young team like last year. You've got no veteran leadership and you don't win games. And I think there is something too. There is a value to having, you've got to have a balance to your roster, because if you go all young, you're just going to lose. And I'm not sure how much development can happen when you're constantly losing.
So to provide some more context to that from Al Horton, if he kind of covered every argument that Sacramento Kings fans have right now about the franchise. Playing the veterans, playing the young players, what results in wins, what's results in losses. And he openly, he acknowledged, hey, it's hard when you get into the flow of the season. We haven't had a chance to see you guys yet.
Right.
So he knows all that just looking at clippings and articles and box scores and just the studying that he's done probably over the last day, as they just had a big game the other night that went into overtime with Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was Philly.
I think.
Philly had a big finish.
So, he's caught up on what's going on in here in Sacramento, and it's worth going back and hearing what he had to say on the KHTK app, because he kind of summed it up pretty perfectly with the way a lot of Kings fans feel right now.
Yeah, and they're ahead of the Kings. They're going to end their drought, barring any kind of injury, and it's fun to see them thrive a little bit. But, it's interesting, even in their market, he said, every time they lose, people, they have their complaints too about this team. And I feel like the first time you're good like this, like Minnesota, I would feel like they'd all be in. Like everything's, this is great. But they find the flaws in Tibbs' approach and maybe the amount of minutes. They should be enjoying it because they're having a fun season.
It was amazing to hear him say, because we talked with Sam Amick about this. So on back-to-back days, as we get ready to watch the Kings and the T-Wolves tonight, we've heard about the amount of minutes that Tom Thibodeau was playing his players. And Karl Anthony Towns was on, I think it was J.J. Redick's podcast, where he was talking about it and talking about the learning curve in playing for Coach Thibodeau, because he's such a defensive-minded coach. And it's difficult. Like, when you go back and you look at Chicago, like, he ran the hell out of those guys in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys in Chicago really kind of fit the mold of what Tom Thibodeau wanted to do, because at the time, Joakim Noah was such a defensive force. He wasn't too worried about the offensive end. He would let the offense come to him and allow other guys on the team, whoever it was, to do their thing. And it's a little bit different of a dynamic on Minnesota.
Yeah.
So the chances of, we talk about, we want to see a guy play, 30 plus minutes, 32, 34, 35 minutes. We want to see one of these young players play those amount of minutes in Minnesota. They're talking about guys playing 42.
Right. 43. They want him to back off a little bit.
Scale back, yeah. The dynamics between these two teams are so different, but it's going to be such an enjoyable watch or an enjoyable listen if you're going to be sticking around here with Sports 1140. It's the Kings and the T-Wolves beginning at 5 o'clock. We will take a look at Week 15 of the NFL schedule. It kicks off tonight. I don't know how to sell you how to watch this game other than it's football, but we'll let you know what's ahead. Plus, a running back, an all-time great perhaps, He's out for the year, likely out for the year. But is he out for his career? We'll touch on that next. J. Ross pulling out some album cuts in terms of stats that you were just reading a few minutes ago. Those were some good ones there, particularly the ones about the draft picks.
Yeah, I was looking up because we were talking about the similarities of maybe between Minnesota and Sacramento. We had a call earlier talking about a young team, and I just kind of wanted to look up average age of where the Kings are. The Kings are near the bottom, one of the younger teams in the league. Their average age on the roster is 26.1, but obviously Z-Bo and Vince Carter swing that dramatically. But they are a team that has been built more than just about any other team in the league via the draft. They have 9 players on their roster that they have drafted, and that's tied for the most in the NBA. They've only had 1 via trade, that was Buddy, and then 5 in free agency compared to a team like, let's see who has the most. Dallas has 10 players via free agency. Miami has 10 players via free agency. So it's just interesting. And then mostly first-round selections on the Kings. They have more first-rounders on their roster than anybody in the league, which I found interesting.
That's what really stood out to me. You said it was 13? Is that right?
13 first-round picks, 1 second-round pick, which is Frank Mason, mm-hmm. and then 1 undrafted player to make up their 15, and that's Garrett Temple.
That's pretty amazing. 13 first-round picks for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Wonder how many of them were just over the last, I mean, yeah. 6 over the last 3 years? 5?
Well, let's see. 4.
Because Jorgis was
3 this year. 6. Yeah, 6 the last 2 years.
Wow.
And Willie before that, so 7 of them.
Okay.
Conversely, I'm going to see if the low.
So just to be fair across the board, those 7 picks, right? Those are all Vlade's. Is that right? Because Willie was Vlade's first pick. Is that right?
Yes.
And then so the all 7 of those first round or the 7 first round picks that we just referenced, mm-hmm. those are all Vlade's.
Yeah, and like Vince Carter's a first round, not theirs.
Right. Yeah.
A team like Dallas has 5 first round picks on their team. So just interesting.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know what it all means, but
I don't either. But yeah. We love. You could do anything with numbers.
Yeah,
I was great man once told me. And yeah, that's fun right there. So it's the Kings and the Timberwolves tonight. I don't know. Maybe the Timberwolves are tired. That game against Philly the other night was fantastic.
It was very entertaining,
and it was an overtime game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's so much talk about them being worn down. Maybe they're tired because let's be clear: the Minnesota roster is better.
Yes,
their starting lineup is better. They've got a bit of a better setup there with Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler, I think, is just now starting to find his stride, at least in the last handful of games that I've watched.
Yeah, with his team.
Yeah, the last handful of games. Because remember, at the beginning of the year, you know, we're 3 games in. Oh, man, Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. That's not working out. 3 games into the season.
Exactly.
It's not working out. You watch him over the course of the last, I probably comfortably have watched them a lot of their games, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. You see Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That Jimmy Butler, you see him, and they got a really, really good flow there.
Yeah, and I think they've got an intense coach. We've talked about it. He is intense. You're going to know he's there, but you kind of know that when you've got him.
I wonder if that rubs some players the wrong way.
I bet it does, especially over time. But when they win, it's probably easier.
Yeah.
But if they get into a little bit of a slide, I think that can wear on you.
Dave Yeager's not an intense coach, is he?
Not in that. I think he gets after him when he needs to.
Yeah.
But I think there's other times. I think he's very aware of that. Let's put it that way, where it's like, is this the day you're going to go in and chew him out? And it's like, you can do that a couple times a year, but like.
It doesn't work.
They lost by 46 to Atlanta. They know.
Yeah.
They know right. They were bad. He could have taken that time to yell at him, but I don't think he did.
One of the most interesting Dave Yeager press conferences I saw was the Cleveland one. Because
mm-hmm.
there was we were having fun with it because that was the linear championship mm-hmm. game. But watching his post game press conference with Katie, please understand what I'm saying. He wasn't pleased that they lost.
Right.
Like there was no like, yay, we competed with Cleveland. Yay, we went out there and did well. It was, we were in a position to win that game and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you could. Regardless of what we're doing this year, what we're doing next year, or what we're draft pick we're worried about, that was a guy who wanted to win that game.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you don't always know. You don't always know, but he wanted to win that game. So, J. Ross back. Kings Live coming up at 4:30. Game night coming up in just about 40 minutes. So, as we said, lots of Kings coverage coming up here on Sports 1140 in the next hour or so. Looks like Adrian Peterson probably is out for the year. not officially. Bruce Arians talked yesterday, and when asked about the status of Adrian Peterson's neck injury, his response didn't sound good. I have no idea. That was his response. He was asked for progress. You know, has any progress been made, Adrian Peterson's neck injury? He repeated, I have no idea. He's missed the last two games. He's unlikely to play Sunday. I'm not sure what the point in bringing him back would be for the final two games of the season. Is this it for Adrian Peterson?
I don't think so. I think he is maybe in Arizona, but I think he has said he wants to keep playing. So,
well, that's cute. That's fine.
Right.
He had moments.
Yeah.
But how many games did he miss last year with the the meniscus?
Yeah.
And then the neck thing this year, which is going to result, if it pans out this way, the way we think it might, that's five games this year.
Yeah, but I think that even the moment game, the one game where he went for one something, where he went, and then even the other one where he had a career-high carries, I think that was against the Niners, you go, that's enough to tease a team to go, yeah, let's kick the tires one more time.
But not as a primary back.
Probably not, but it's very rare to have a primary back anymore. There's a handful, very small handful. He may not be that guy anymore. But
he can't be that guy. The primary backs in the league are Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, Jay Ajayi, I don't even know if he's the primary back.
It's Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott. It would be David Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We think it would be David Johnson, by the way, because the year before, he wasn't really. Like, he was a run, and then he kind of just took the job and was like, yeah, I'm going to do this from here on out.
Yeah.
That story caught my attention. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do with Adrian
Peterson
at this point.
I think he'll still play. I do. I think he still wants to keep going.
Will it be a forgotten fact that Adrian Peterson was actually on the Saints when the season started? Is he kicking himself that he's not on the Saints anymore?
No.
No?
No, he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
They weren't using. And it's made Ingram and Kamara thrive. Like, it wasn't because of him, but they were trying to use all three. They cut it down to two, and it's really worked well for him.
I think we touched on everything we were supposed to. We actually didn't forget anything. That's very unusual. Thursday night football tonight, Denver and Indianapolis. I know you are pumped for that one.
Fired up.
I can get you even more excited. Coming up on Saturday, we got the Bears and the Lions. You can hear that game on Sports 1140. Chargers and Chiefs. I'm just looking at this. Like, Dolphins, Bills, you excited?
Nope.
Ravens, Browns?
Raider Ray
said he's got inside information at the how Raider Ray has inside information on the Ravens is beyond me.
But as our texter said, if that happens, he needs to become Raven Ray.
I agree.
Yeah.
Raven Ray, caller of the year, 2017, two-time caller. We'll even call him two-time caller of the year, Raven Ray.
I don't like that.
Hey. You're hinging this on the Ravens beating the Browns, by
the way.
The Browns beating the Ravens, excuse me.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to have a conversation about the Browns and your boy, your real boy, Josh Rosen.
Oh, I'll claim him.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Nope, that's your boy too?
Nope.
Okay.
Not so much.
We'll save that for another day, but I saw a mock draft come out and was like, oh, we're there already.
Oh, yeah.
It's mock draft time. And there was Darnold at number one, Cleveland, and Rosen at number two, which I think was the Giants?
Giants, yeah.
Okay. I think there's a conversation to be had. If you're Sam Darnold, we've had people ask, is Sam Darnold, will he go back to USC just to avoid Cleveland? Which is a fair line of thinking. But what in the world makes you think Cleveland won't be there at the top of the draft?
That's exactly
next
what
year?
I was going to say. I mean, if that's your reasoning, I think that's the wrong reasoning. Now, if you want to go back to school and you still want to play college football, that's fine. But if it's to avoid going to a team, that's the wrong reasoning.
We'll get you ready for the full slate of NFL action. And there are some marquee games, including, you know, obviously that AFC West game we're all going to be locked into, the Patriots and the Steelers. Cowboys and Raiders on Sunday Night Football. We have that one for you as well. We'll touch tomorrow on the Titans and the San Francisco 49ers. Can the 49ers get their fourth win? Can Jimmy Garoppolo remain undefeated in the NFL? So we will touch on all of that. Garrett Temple will join us tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I feel like that's just a curse that the Kings are going to lose.
I know. I hope. We're going to get him one time after a win.
It's bound to happen at some point. No time like tomorrow. So Garrett Temple will join us then. We'll have a full show for you. Fridays are always fun as we get you ready for the weekend. We thank you so much for being with us. If you miss any part of today's show, you can subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or go to the App Store, download the KHDK app, rate us 5 stars while you're there if you wouldn't mind, and we will see you tomorrow at noon.